enough, don't we? And then most of us, we want more than enough. And one of the richest men, they say, this, as the story goes, and he was asked, you know, how much is enough? And he said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Now, if you ask the miser how much is enough, you know, he'll say, one more dollar. If you ask the sportsman, the hunter, he's going to say, one more rifle, right? And if you ask the socialite, it'll be one more outfit. And if you ask the woman who loves going to the mall all the time, one more pair of shoes or one more purse, right? It's like, how many purses can you carry at one time? Well, I can have one for this outfit and one for that outfit and all of that. If you ask the child, it'd be one more toy, right? And if you ask the glutton, it'd be one more bite, right? We always seem to want more. Most people are never satisfied. How much is enough? How much is enough? Most of you know we were missionaries in Zambia. And I remember our first year there, there was a time of famine. And people were really hungry. And I know the folks there are a lot more poor than we are. But that our first year, there was famine. And people were doing anything they could to get some food. People would be out there digging in the fields, looking for roots and whatever they can, eating basically what you would call a weed. Brenda, maybe you like bondwe, but to me it's a weed. Brenda's from Zambia. You know, we saw people, you know, chasing down, digging out holes and looking for the rats. All these different things. You'd say, I'd never eat a rat. I didn't either. Amen? But there was a real famine. And we had a lady, it was pouring rain. It was good steady rain coming down. And a lady came to our gate. She had a baby strapped on her back. And it's in the pouring rain. And she wanted to do some work that day so she could make enough money to feed her family. Now, of course, we're not going to make her work out there in the rain. We gave her a little bit of food, a little bit of money, and sent her on the way. We never saw her again. She just needed something for that day. You know, to her, you know what was enough? To have some food in her stomach. That was enough. To her, that was more than enough. And I want to consider having more than enough and what to do with it if you have it. Okay? So we got 3 points here, and I love how the Word of God is so clear on things. The first thing I want you to think about is wanting more than enough. Wanting more than enough. Now, the word want can be defined two different ways. It has two meanings. It can mean, people say, that person is in want. That means that they are in need. They lack something. It speaks of being deficient, a deficiency. And it also can mean to desire. I want something. I would like to have that. So it can mean to be deficient, or it can mean to desire. And we'll consider both of those meanings as far as wanting more than enough. And the first meaning is deficiency. In our text, it's obvious that the widow was destitute. She was lacking. She had a real need. Okay? Her husband died. They didn't have enough money to pay the bills. They were going further in debt because her husband died. And now she's about ready to lose her children. Now, we're not told that her husband left her with debt. It's more likely that she just acquired the debt because her husband was no longer able to provide for the family. She did not have more than enough. She didn't even have enough. And at times the Lord, just remember this, because you might be sitting here thinking, I don't have enough. At times the Lord allows bad things to happen to good people. It's just a fact of life. Bad things happen to good people. And notice the testimony of the woman's husband. She was speaking to the prophet, and she said, thy servant did fear the Lord. He was a good man. He's a good man. And yet, his family was not spared a problem. Back in the 1970s, some might remember the 1970s. The economy was not great. my dad was out of work. And I remember one day my father, he gathered our whole family together and prayed that God would provide a meal for that evening. I may have told this story before, but it still means a lot to me. We didn't have food. There wasn't enough in the cupboards to eat. He gathered us together. He prayed, Lord, please. And he thanked the Lord for the food he was going to send. That's one thing I can tell you about my dad. Side note. A lot of problems, a lot of things all through life, difficulties. And he's always said, in everything, give thanks. And he was thanking God for the food that God was going to send. And I was just a little kid thinking, okay, we're praying. We need food. I don't know. You know, you never really think about where the next meal is going to come from. Later that evening, someone comes by, drops off a basket of fruit. You say, a basket of fruit? Yeah, that was dinner. Fruit tastes pretty good when you don't have food. Amen? And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with having to pray for our daily needs. Jesus instructed his disciples in Matthew 6:11, give us this day our what? Daily bread. There's nothing wrong with having to pray, Lord, give us what we need today. And God uses instances like this in which we lack in order to build our faith. And if you had everything you needed, then you don't really feel like you need God too much. But when you get in times of want, in times of need, all of a sudden prayer means a little bit more. And depending on God and having faith and trusting Him seems to be a little bit more important. And that lesson of God's provision for our family has stuck with me to this day. And I'm so glad I was able to see literally supernatural intervention as a child. And I can remember now that God is always going to take care of my needs. Just from being able to see that. Now, do I think that my dad was excited that he was out of work and he didn't have the money to put all the food on the table? You know, if you're a dad, you really feel responsible for your family. And you really feel like a heel if you can't provide like you want to provide. But God used that. And He's still using that today in my life. You may want or lack more than enough at times, but only so the Lord can show Himself mighty on your behalf. If you're in need today, don't get all worried and bothered about it. You know, we've seen here already that sometimes wanting more than enough is not bad, okay? Sometimes it is, though. And that's what I want to consider the next definition of the word wanting. Want can also mean desire. You say, is it wrong to desire more than enough? Yes. Yes, it is. When our need is caused because of covetous, let me just talk about this for a moment. It is sin, okay? Because when we want more than enough, that is a covetous attitude. And once again, our text doesn't indicate that the husband of the widow here had borrowed foolishly and left his family with staggering debt. Now, that's a problem with many people in our nation. People borrow and borrow and borrow, and they spend and spend and spend. They rack up debt. And then, you know, what's going to happen when they pass away? They leave it to their family. Well, the word enough is defined a sufficiency. That's all God says we need is just enough. Just enough to be sufficient. But we're not satisfied. God tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without what? Covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. Paul testified, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? Content. He spoke those words from jail. Okay? And I'm sure the room and board was subpar. Okay? There was no pillow top, no fluffy pillow. He didn't have a MyPillow because he didn't have MyPillow.com either, right? And despite his deprivation, he was content. See, having money is not a sin, and neither is being rich. If you have that, great, amen. The problem comes when people long for more than enough. It's a hard attitude. Paul told it like this. He put it like this to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 9. He said, but they that will be rich, that will be means desire to be. If you have this desire to be rich, it says, they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. We know that the love of money, it's not money, the love of money is the root of all evil. And when we have this desire, I need more, I want more, and it's all bent on our covetousness, and I got to have bigger and better and the most expensive. There's a problem there. It's sin. And that attitude of wanting more than enough. If wanting is that you have a great need and you're destitute, that's okay. If your wanting is that you've got this great desire to have more, ooh, we've got problems now. What should our desire be if it's not to just want to be rich? And, well, it's to seek God's kingdom first. But too many of us, our problem is we want more. More and more and more. It doesn't take long for a little child to learn that word, does it? More. I mean, you're sitting there feeding them gross, mushy peas on the spoon, and they're like, their face gets all cockeyed, and then you take the spoon or the fork, whatever, and you take a little piece of cake with that frosting, and you put it in their mouth after they get all their peas done, and their eyes just get really big. It's, oh, man. And they're reaching for that spoon or fork saying, more, you know, more, more. Man, little kids understand what more is, and they learn it very quickly. And the problem is some of us are still reaching for the fork saying, more, more. But God doesn't want us to have that desire just to be rich and to keep filling our coffers. No, in Matthew 6:33, it's pretty clear. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first and he'll take care of the needs. But we chase after the desires and then leave God aside. Then we actually end up getting ourselves into problems and needs. Seek ye first the kingdom. How do you do that? How do you do that with your money anyway, with our finances? I believe, yes, you know, Pastor Damon preached on it. You give God 10%. It's his. You can't keep it. If you keep it, you've robbed from him. It's his. You give it to him. But then we got 90% left. So use that wisely. If you use that for sinful things or foolish things, guess what? You're not seeking God first. Okay? You can give 10%, yeah, and think you're a great Christian, and then go take some of the other and use it for vices and sin or just, you know, silly things that are a waste of money. And then you get yourself in debt and wonder, what's going on? I tithed. God didn't take care of me. No, you didn't take care of the 90%. This is talking about stewardship. It's talking about managing. Christian life's not super difficult to figure out. It's not always easy to do, but it's pretty simple. I remember when I first got right with the Lord, I had given so much to the devil through all the sinful vices that we'd go to a revival, and I'd think, well, I just kind of put it in these terms. I'd go to a meeting, and they're taking an offering, and then they're taking another offering, and, you know, we had two offertories today, but only one offering. I remember thinking, wow, man, if I was, it's Friday night, it's the last night of the meeting. If I was back out in the world, I've been spending this much on booze and this much on the movies and this much on this, and so, man, I could throw this much into the offering plate. It just was pretty simple to me. That was over and above tithe. It was just because, man, I love God. God's done so much for me. Why not just give him a little bit more back? Amen? And putting God first with our money means that we give right, we budget right, we manage right, we spend right. And we can't expect God to bless our finances when we only work half of the equation. Like I said, we give the 10% and think that he's going to bless everything else, and then we totally mess up with the 90%. Okay? You give a tithe and you blow the rest at the mall, or you're so addicted to shopping at Amazon.com just because you got the Prime membership and free shipping. Yeah, but the products aren't free. You go to the convenience store all the time, and I'm just pop in here. I get a little bit of, I'm busy. I deserve this. And we expect divine intervention when we go into debt. Don't expect it. God is not obligated to bail us out because we haven't managed what he's given to us. And it all goes back to that we want more than enough. We want, we want, we want. Now, if God gives it to you, amen. But it's that idea of grabbing and always wanting more. So beware of desiring more than enough and succumbing to covetousness. All right, second idea. So we talked about wanting more than enough. Now I'm going to tell you about having more than enough. Does the Bible actually tell us how to have more than enough? I think it does. In fact, I think our story actually talks about it. So let's look at this. Before we actually give you the little step-by-step here, I want you to think of one thing. How often have you said, man, we just don't have enough to make ends meet? Man, I'd like to buy this. I'd like to do this. I'd like to, take this trip. We just don't have enough to do what we'd like. Well, the truth is, can I tell you that in America, we have already more than enough. I really don't have to give you the formula about more than enough because we already have more than enough. If you didn't have to pray this morning that God would provide you food for today, you already have more than enough. We do. We are so spoiled. We are so loaded. Again, pardon me if I repeat some stories, but they just reverberate in my mind. As our children were growing up on the mission field in Africa, they saw a lot of people that a lot of people in this world don't have much. And they learned that we do have an abundance of things. When John, he was almost 7 years old, we were living in Mazubuka. And he looked at the Christmas tree and he said, Dad, we have too many presents under the tree. And you know what? He was right. There was more than enough. How much more stuff do you have? You know, it comes time to Christmas, it comes time for anniversary, it comes time for, birthdays. We just get stuff because we're supposed to get stuff. But sometimes we're getting stuff to replace other stuff that we already have that's not broken. But hey, we got new stuff. This is bigger stuff. It's better stuff. It's more expensive stuff. It's the latest stuff. Man, it's stuff. And we've got more than enough. And then people have garage sales. And they never sell their garage. I've never figured that out. But we just have so much. Today, most of us got up and we decided which outfit to put on. Okay? I have racks of ties. Which tie am I going to put on? Which suit? Not just the one gray one, Which of my three or four or however many gray ones do I want to wear? Why? Because we have so much. I got to decide which pair of shoes to put on. Not only that, I got to decide which pair of black shoes I wanted to put on. Many people decided when they get up this morning which vehicle to drive to church. Am I going to take this one or am I going to take that one? Why? Because we have more than enough. We go shopping and we have so many stores to choose from. And then once we get there, we have an endless supply, an endless variety of products on the shelf. You're out in town, your wife asks you, hey, can you pick this up? And you go and you look at, there's like 42 different varieties. Which one? So you call, which one did you want? Some people will decide today which restaurant they'll eat at after one of the services. So many in this world, you got to remember, don't have all of those choices. We already have more than enough. But we still want more, don't we? However, let's consider the widow in our text passage today, because she did have a true need. She did not have more than enough. She was wanting. And notice at the end of the story, she had more than enough. Look in verse number 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt. That was her need. She paid the debt. Now look at the rest of the verse. And live thou and thy children of the rest. That was bonus. In fact, it was enough to take care of her and her family. It was more than enough. How did she end up with more than enough? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at her and see what happened. First thing I see with her and with us is that we need to be humble. Be humble? Yes, be humble. Now it says here in verse number 1, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto who? Elisha. What did the widow do when she got into trouble financially? She went and humbled herself and got help from the man of God. Pretty simple, isn't it? Okay? She went to God's man for help. And we need to be willing to humble ourselves and get godly counsel. Pastor Dameron would really like us to all have the right kind of finances. He says, no, he just wants us to give all of our money. No, he doesn't. Why do you think he has all those books down here? To help us to know more about what God's Word says about how to handle our finances. Because if we can control our money, we're going to have a much better life. Okay? And we need to, at times, humble ourselves and get some help. God's men can help you with a plan, but then when they give you some advice, follow it. People, well, I'm way in debt. Well, this is what you need to do. And they're, well, I don't want to do that. You know, if you've got problems, something's got to change, right? If nothing changes, things aren't going to get fixed. So we need to be humble. That's what she was, and that's what we need to be. Secondly, I see another thing here in verse 2. Be surrendered. Be surrendered. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, thine handmaid hath nothing at all. Interesting that the prophet asked, what do you have in your house? You know, we're always looking for a handout, aren't we? You get, you know, people vilify the rich. You got money and I don't? Well, it's all right for me to take it from you. And if you got money and I don't, you're bad, you're evil, unless you give it to me. And if you don't give it to me, then we'll get someone to tax you and give it to me or something. No, we shouldn't be vilifying the rich. Now, a lot of rich people don't do the right things, I understand that. But we're always looking for a handout. She said, when she was asked, what do you have in your house? She said, thine handmaid hath not anything. But she did. The Lord often likes to use what's available, what we already have. And once our possessions are surrendered and in His hands, He can bless them and multiply them. Everything you have must be at God's disposal, even if you think it's little. She just said, oh, I just got this pot of oil. Ain't much or nothing. No. We know that God expects us to give the 10% to Him. We understand that. But then we must seek how He wants us to use that 90%. And we say that there's not enough. There's not enough. Yes, there is enough. God wants us to be surrendered and say, Lord, here it is. What happened with the little lad's lunch we just heard about? It was put into the hands of the Lord, and what happened? Then the Lord could bless it and multiply it and use it. And the problem is, we give the 10% and say, man, this 90's mine. I'm going to do whatever I want with it. No. Let Him direct you on the 90. He may say, give a little extra. Give a little extra. He may say, help your brother, help your sister, help this, whatever. You know, God will guide you. So I think we see why she had more than enough. She was humble. She got help when she had a problem. And we also see that she was surrendered. She wasn't trying to hold on to everything she had. She was willing to give it up. But I also see something else, that we need to be content. And she had a little problem with this, and he pointed it out here. The widow had spent too much time looking at what she did not have and not enough time looking at what God had already given to her. Remember? What's in your house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house. Wait a minute. Do you ever get that way? You start despising and calling what God's given you nothing? Man, my car is... I got a car, but it's a piece of junk. Well, God gave it to you. Take better care of it, you know. But what I'm saying is, we despise and we look down on what God gives us, and never despise the little that God's given you. He can make it go a long way. Brother Kriego gave a testimony about his car and how he just was praying that it would last a little longer because he didn't have the money to get another one. And God made it last a little bit longer, and then God gave him the money for another one, and he's able to get another car. He was able to see God work. Isn't that exciting? But we don't see God work till we have that need. We need to be content. In truth, what she had was something, and it was the means that God planned to use to bless her. Next thing I see is we need to be obedient. So you want to have more than enough, okay? You want to have more than enough? Be humble. Be surrendered. Give God what and surrender whatever you have in His hands and let Him guide you with it. Be content and happy with what He has given you. And then I see, fourthly, be obedient. Look here in verse number 3. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Borrow not a few. Don't get a few. Go out and get a bunch of them. And there'd be oil enough to fill each of the vessels that she had gathered. What a lesson on faith. Consider about faith, that we see that faith follows God. Go borrow some vessels. Borrow vessels? I got a pot of oil. Like, really, I'm going to pour this pot and it's going to fill this huge container? And then another one? Yeah, right. That's how some of us would be saying. We'd be so skeptical. Yeah, we'll see. All right, he told me to do it. I'll go get one or two of those vessels. And that's it. I ain't going to make a fool of myself. No, she just went out and got a bunch of vessels. She gathered many vessels, and she started pouring in there. And God may lead us to make decisions that sometimes are against conventional wisdom. Now, He's never going to lead us against His Word, but when He guides contrary to your own thinking, hey, be willing to follow Him, amen? You know, like God says, give, and it shall be what? Given. The world says, oh, no, put yourself first. Don't give anything. If God is so rich, He's got it all already. He don't need your money. You keep it all. No, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? God's ways always work. And by faith, we need to follow God's instructions. But I also see about faith that our blessings are often in proportion to our obedience. If the woman had only gathered two pots, two big vessels, then only two big vessels would have been filled. If she had gathered 10, then 10 would have been filled. It was like a blank check. How much oil do you want, lady? How much do you want? It was all a matter of her faith, and her faith was reflected by what she did. She said, all right, God, you said, I'm going to go do it, and she did it. And she didn't hold back. She went and got a bunch of vessels. And we have to have faith, and if we have faith, we'll obey God. And this is one of the steps to make us to have more than enough. We'll have our needs met. And the woman did what she was told. Let me ask you this. Have you done what you've been told? Do you tithe? Do you give God a gift? And then the big one, really, because those other ones are pretty easy to me. The big one is, do you manage the rest wisely? Do you have a written budget where you say, this is where my money's going to go, and this is what I'm going to do with my money, and I'm going to control my money? If you do that, and you follow God's principles, man, your life's going to be so much better. You'll have so much. I could sit here and just go into the idea of budgeting and how God just simple biblical principles and how it helps you be prepared. But lastly, I see something about the lady and that we ought to emulate is be responsible. Be responsible. You want to have more than enough? Verse number 7 again. After the woman had that abundance of oil, what was she told to do? She was told to go and what? Sell it. And then what was she supposed to do once she sold it? Go on a nice vacation? Hey, man, we could take that cruise of a lifetime. We are loaded. No, listen, what did God say to do? He said, be responsible. He said, I have provided for your need. Now pay your debt. We pray and we ask God and He provides for us and we get a little bit of extra come in and we just go blow it on ourselves when we owe money to somebody. That is sin. That is wrong. Be responsible. God gives you something. Pay your debt. I like vacations. But if I have some huge debt, I got to pay my debt before I'm going to go on some big fancy vacation. It's pretty simple. Sell it. Pay your debts. And then what happened? She is able to live off the rest. She had more than enough. You can't expect the Lord to bless you financially as long as you spend money that belongs to somebody else. You say, belongs to me. No, you'll have a debt. It belongs to them. Pay them off. So God met her need and provided for a debt. God gave her more than enough. Now, real quickly, I'm going to finish up here. Don't forget, now God wants to give us more than enough. Now we shouldn't be striving to have more than enough. He wants to give us more than enough. But you ever wonder why? Yeah, so we can prove that He's great and He provides for us. I want you to see one more thing. Our last point is giving more than enough. Oh man, you had to ruin a sermon talking about giving now. One of the reasons God gives us money is so that we can contribute to His causes and be a blessing and help other people. And it really is fun to be able to help other people. Notice God's plan in giving. Pastor Dameron preached about it here. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I'll read the verse for you. Listen closely and see if you see any hint about giving and then having more than enough. Just see if it's in there, if I'm making this all up myself. Bring Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be what? Room enough to receive it? See God's pattern. He gives to us. We give back to Him. And when we do, He gives us such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. To me, that sounds a little bit like more than enough. More than enough. I don't get a huge paycheck, but I live pretty good. I really do. I mean, I drive nice cars. I eat good food. You know, I got the threads. You know what I'm saying? You know, God takes very good care of me. It's exciting. Man, God is so good. Go to Exodus. We're about done now. I want you to see something from the children of Israel. Exodus chapter number 35. Now, the children of Israel, they had been delivered from Egypt. Remember, they were slaves. They were in bondage. And God delivered them. Man, that ought to make you excited if you've been saved and delivered from your sin and you're not a slave to your sin anymore. Praise the Lord for the testimony this morning how God delivered him from all of that. Not just a bad past, but the sin that he'd gotten into himself and how God's changed his life. And man, God can change your life too, by the way. He is in the life-changing business. So he did some wonderful things for the children of Israel. He gave them the Ten Commandments and told them, this is what I want you to do and how to do it. And then he says, I want you to build a tabernacle so you guys can worship me. Now, the tabernacle. He also told Moses how to build the tabernacle. And then in chapter 34, verses 4 and 5, God told him how to finance the building of the tabernacle, which included, you know, all the gold and all that stuff. Look at here, verses 4 and 5. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. And it continues on down there, and it talks about all the different precious stones. And man, this is how God wanted to finance his work. Who was supposed to do it? His people. Remember the pattern? He gives to us, we can give to him. And when we do, he gives us back. Pretty neat stuff. Now look at chapter 35, verse 29. The children of Israel, so this is what God said, then we see what happened, the response. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work. They were willing. That's the key. You know, God's work, I'm getting ahead of myself. Go to chapter 36. All right, now we're going to see in verse number 5 the result. So he says, this is how I want to finance it. And the people gave willingly. It wasn't like pulling teeth. They just loved God. It was like, whoa, man, he's done so much for us. He's delivered us. Man, I want to do something back for him. And then we see in chapter 36, verse number 5, I love this verse. In fact, in it you'll see the title of my message. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much what? More than enough for the service of the work. The people were willing, and they gave more than enough. There was more than enough to meet the need. That's a pretty good thing to happen, isn't it? Wouldn't that be something if all the needs here just got met because people got excited and said, hey, man, God's been so good to me. I've been chasing after this and chasing after that, and he's blessed me so much. He's given me so much. I've got more than enough. I want to give a little bit more to him. And then God's work has more than enough. To me, I think that's neat. And then look down here in verse number 7. For the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Too much. Wouldn't it be good if God's work had too much? Oh, we got too much money. Well, we'll get rid of some of those older buses and get better ones. Amen. Oh, God's been good to us. I close with a story of the prodigal son. Now, the father in the story is a picture of who? Our Heavenly Father. And notice what the prodigal realized when he had lost everything. Remember, this is the guy who said to his father, hey, give me all my inheritance now. And he took it and went out and spent it on riotous living and lived a wicked, horrible life and spent it all. And he ended up just eating with the pigs, feeding the pigs. He had nothing. This is what he said. This is what it says about him in Luke chapter 15, verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You see, his desire for more led to what? Poverty. I got to have more. Give me it all now. What happened in his life? It tanked. And then he got starting to think about his father, and he's got to start thinking about all the servants back home and everyone in his father's household and how his father offered more than enough. And we must understand that our Heavenly Father provides, listen to the phrase here, bread enough and to spare. You know what that means? more than enough. You know what God gives me? Bread and to spare. He gives me more than enough. You know what He gives you? More than enough. When we returned to Zambia this past spring for a few weeks, I was reminded just how good we have it. We've been gone for 5 years, and it just reminded me we've got so much. We saw our friends, the people there, who have a fraction of what we have. And they were so happy. Why? They had the Lord. They had more than enough. And here we get affected by wanting more than enough, and it's really never enough. And when we have a need, and we seek God, and He gives us more than enough, wow, it's pretty exciting to see God work, isn't it? And then out of a willing heart and a thankful heart, we can give back to God, and God's work can have more than enough. I love how God works it all out. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Please, bow your heads with me and close our eyes. I did not speak about salvation today. The testimony sure did, how God changed Brother Brock's life. The Lord may have made it clear to you that you really don't have Him in your life at all. You know you're missing Him. You know you need Him. You know, perhaps you've been very concerned about all your earthly needs in this life, but I'll tell you, God wants you to think more about your greatest need, and that's preparation for the next life. Again, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Oh, you need forgiveness of sins through Jesus. And once your life is straightened out with Him, oh, then He can begin to take care of the rest of your needs. Do you want a Heavenly Father who will love you and help you in this life and, more importantly, cleanse you and prepare you for the next life? If so, we'd love to help you. I'd like to pray for you. You say, "I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I've received Christ as my Savior. I want to know more about Him coming into my life and forgiving me and giving me a new life and changing me. I need that. I don't understand all of this, but I need it." I'll tell you, God wants to help you today. Is there anyone like that today? Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. You say, "I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I just know I need God. I've never turned from my sin. I need Him to come in and change me and make me a new person. I need that. I need that." Is anyone like that today? I'd love to pray for you. Just slip up your hand. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hands down. Our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. We have an invitation that's at the end of the service. We'll keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and the music will play. And if you are serious about that, I would just ask, please, that you'd come forward. God's already spoken to your heart. Praise the Lord for that. Take the step. Come forward. We got one of the men down here. We'll take the Bible. Have someone take the Bible. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady share with you from the Scripture. If you're a man, we'll have a man share with you privately how you can have Christ come into your life, change you, make you new. Oh, He's got a great plan for your life. I hope you'll do that. I hope when we pray at the end here that you'll come forward during the invitation. And for those of you who are saved, you know Christ already. Let me say, when we cease to strive for more than enough, we're going to have more than enough. And then we'll be able to live a much better life and give more than enough. And God's work will have more than enough. And all. Wow, it just works so well. We already really have more than enough. How you doing? Are you managing? Are you giving to Him what He is His? Are you managing the rest wisely? Are you doing as a widow, and you're being humble, you're being surrendered with your things, you're content with what you have, you're obedient, you're going to follow God's plan? Are you responsible to pay your debts? Oh, perhaps you're more concerned about having more than enough for yourself. Let's get rid of that attitude. It didn't help the prodigal. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Oh, I thank you so much for the simplicity of your word. I thank you that you spoke to some hearts today. They were very honest, lift their hand to say, I need a change. I know I'm missing something. I need you in my life. Lord, I'm thankful that you spoke to them. You've been drawing them to yourself. Now, Lord, I pray that they take that step when the music begins to play, to just to step on out. We'll have someone take the Bible and show them how their life can be new, simply how they can receive the forgiveness of sins and get you in their lives and have a transformed life. Lord, you've got a wonderful plan for them. Please give them the strength and the boldness to step out and do that. Lord, so many of us have made those decisions already, and how happy we made that decision. Now I also pray for your people who are saved but maybe have not been managing their finances properly, got a little bit too covetous and chasing after the world, not content. I pray that you'd help us to have the right heart attitude. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The music begins to play. Please step out and come. Talk to the Lord if you need to pray, and see one of these men if you'd like to be saved today.